The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Amateur Traveler, episode 782. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Mayan ruins and pueblos mágicos, waterfalls and canyons, shamans and cenotes, as we go to the Mexican state of Chiapas. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Chiapas. I'd like to welcome to the show Shelly from TravelMexicoSolo.com. And Shelly has come to talk to us about the Mexican state of Chiapas. Shelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. I'm so excited to be talking to you.
And this is not a state that I think everyone knows. So can we put it on a map before we get too far along?
Yes. And I always have to do this running a Mexico blog. I always forget that people geographically have to like place themselves in Mexico. So Chiapas is in southern Mexico, and it's also on the eastern side of southern Mexico, but usually people will just call the region southern Mexico. It's next to the state of Oaxaca, if anyone can place that on a map in their head. So that Oaxaca's to the west, and then to the east is the Yucatan Peninsula, which is where you'll find Cancun, Tulum, Playa del Carmen, a lot of the big name tourist destinations. So Chiapas is in between Oaxaca and the Yucatan Peninsula in what is technically southern Mexico.
Well, it also shares a border with Guatemala.
Yeah, it does. A lot of people actually, especially like backpackers, I've found they do that route a lot. Mm-hmm. So Chiapas will be a last stop for a lot of people as they continue into Central America.
Excellent. And what's your connection with Chiapas?
I spent a month in Chiapas about, what was that, 2019, 2 years ago. I spent a month in Chiapas, but I've been in Mexico for 3.5 years now, and I've been all over. And from Chiapas, I actually kept continuing traveling through southern Mexico, and I went over to Oaxaca, where I ended up living for about 4 months. And Oaxaca and Chiapas are pretty similar states. They're known as being very connected to their indigenous roots, and a lot of people there will even not really classify themselves as Mexican. They'll classify themselves with the connection to their indigenous groups. Like there's a lot of Zapotec Indians there and things like that. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, why should someone go to Chiapas?
Chiapas is the perfect place for people who want to go off the beaten path in Mexico. There are more tourist-friendly parts of Chiapas, and then there's like super off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. And so you can have both, but it's also really great for anyone who wants to experience some like quote-unquote real Mexican culture. This is definitely not the same as if someone's like, I've been to Mexico. Like, where have you been? Oh, I've been to Cancun. That's a maybe you've been to Mexico. But like, if you've traveled through Chiapas, you've definitely seen like the real side of Mexico, so to speak. So I always recommend it to anyone looking for culture trip. It's really great for foodies. Everything in Chiapas is like farm to table. There's a lot of farms. A lot of parts of the state are really high up in the mountains. So there's a lot of coffee growing that happens. So it's also known as like one of the coffee states of Mexico. So just all around for foodies, for culture lovers, for nature lovers, it's a great state. And for people who like venturing off the beaten path.
Excellent. Well, and for some people, if they've heard of Chiapas at all, the last time they heard about it was in the 1990s, and they haven't heard about it since that. So they don't know that there's not an uprising going on there, which there was more than 20 years ago now, almost 30 years ago. So let's just get out of the way. First of all, it's safe to go to Chiapas.
I went by myself. I was doing solo travel. And I felt very safe in Chiapas anywhere that I went. So I would say that it was. As a Mexico blogger, I'm always a little hesitant to just like blanket and say that, yes, it is safe.
You would send your mom to Chiapas is really the
question. I would send my mom to Chiapas. Okay. I think my mom would do very well in Chiapas.
Excellent.
And I personally did very well in Chiapas. For me, it was very safe.
Well, and some people don't know what I'm talking about at all, and so don't worry about it then. They pay no attention. But for those
it's
of you who haven't heard about it since the 1990s, that's all gone. So what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us for Chiapas?
So like I said, I spent a month there. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't have a month.
Right.
So maybe we'll do like, maybe we'll start with like kind of a 1-week-ish itinerary.
Excellent.
And then from there, like branch out to anyone who is lucky enough to have much more than a week to travel to Chiapas. Because if you want to do the whole state, you really do need it. It's a medium-sized state in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge state, but it's still pretty sizable. And the roads that connect places sort of end up taking a lot of time to travel in between places because these are like switchback kind of old-school mountain roads. So, all right, let's start with like kind of a week. So when you travel to Chiapas, there's really just one big international airport, and it's in Tuxtla Gutierrez. I think the code is TGX, and that's the capital of the state. And from Tuxtla, most people, I would probably say like 95% of Chiapas travelers, are going to go to the city of San Cristobal de las Casas. And that is actually one of the Pueblos Mágicos of Mexico, which means magic towns. And there's about 135 of them. Yeah. So the Mexican Secretary of Tourism,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say he, it's a he now, it could be a she in the future. So he designated or redesignates every single year, like the cities have to reapply each year to make sure they meet certain criteria, like that they have historical value or really rich traditions, maybe like an amazing festival. There's even some cities that are just plain beautiful, and they're pueblos,
right.
So they're small towns,
mm-hmm.
and they have to have really good tourism infrastructure. So they're towns that tourists would want to visit, but they also are set up so you can stay there. So San Cristobal de las Casas is one of those towns, and it's really the main town that people will probably go stay in. And as I mentioned, Chiapas is sort of known as more of like a natural kind of place. It's really big with backpackers and culture travelers. But for like being kind of a quote unquote hippie town, there's really, really nice places to stay. There's like really nice old like hacienda type buildings, mm-hmm. like, and but they're like luxury hotel spas. So you can kind of base yourself out of Chiapas and go kind of explore a little during the day and maybe get a little dirty, so to speak, during the day, and then come back to like a spa hotel at night. So for me, that was pretty interesting.
Do you have any particular ones you would recommend?
I didn't. I stayed in an Airbnb, so I can't say like a name of a hotel specifically, but
okay.
So the downtown of San Cristobal is pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you can walk the whole thing from end to end in an hour, and you'd see like the really nice hotels like once you were there. But also, I guess if you just looked online at like booking, they were the hotel spas. They were the hotels with spas attached to them.
Okay.
And they were actually like way more luxurious than I was
that fit in your budget.
Anticipating.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually did not go to any of them, mm-hmm. which I kind of regret. But yeah, and Mexico is still semi-affordable, especially for anyone coming with dollars and euros. But yeah, mm-hmm. a lot nicer than what I was expecting for what I had known about San Cristobal being sort of this like, yeah, I want to call it a hippie town. I mean, it wasn't just like a bunch of hippies running around, but like it's definitely a backpack. It's on the backpacker route.
Okay.
I'll say. So that was interesting. And then when you go there, you don't want a car. They're like small cobblestone streets from the airport in Tuxtla over to San Cristobal. It's about an hour and a half, and you can just take a taxi or a van for just a couple dollars. So for mm-hmm. me, I would definitely recommend not getting a car. And in downtown, there's a couple like main streets in San Cristobal. And if you've ever seen photos of the town, they're the streets that have like the papel picado, or like the colorful paper flags that'll be like flying on the top of the streets from one side to the other. It's kind of like a quintessential Mexico photo. So there's a couple streets, and you'll see them because they'll have the paper flags. And those are on those streets. There's a lot of tour companies. So there's a couple big tours that they do. And I did do two of them. And one is to Sumadero Canyon, and it's closer to Tuxtla Gutierrez, which is where the airport is. And you do like a boat ride through this canyon, and it's one of the biggest canyons on Earth. They say there's like, at some points, the walls go up. It's 1,000 meters, so I guess that's something like 3,000 feet or 3,200 feet, something like that. So yeah, you're like boating through this massive canyon, and there's a lot of trees and kind of like jungle vegetation on the sides. You see monkeys like kind of swinging through the trees.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody automatically realized that when we started talking about southern Mexico, we're tropical here.
Actually, Chiapas, I think, is the most biodiverse state in Mexico. And I think Mexico is like the fifth most biodiverse country on Earth. So yeah, Chiapas actually has a lot of things, but yeah, it's hot. It's definitely there. They have beaches. The beaches aren't so nice. We'll like hopefully get to talk about the beaches, but yeah, it's hot. It's definitely hot and humid. But for example, San Cristobal de las Casas is really, really high up in the mountains. Like some people even get altitude sickness when they travel there. I think it's well over a mile above sea level. And I think it's technically a cloud forest.
Yeah, 7,200 feet. When you say it's really hot, what time of year did you go, and would you recommend something different?
I went in, that would be September, October time. And that is like the tail end of the rainy season.
Okay.
So the other thing is that when it's not super hot, so San Cristobal specifically, when it's not super hot, it's really, really, really cold. So you kind of just kind of like, it's kind of like a Seattle weather. It's like cloudy.
Okay.
But it can get like into the 50s and 40s, like pretty regularly at night. So for me, I'm from Miami, and I will take hot over cold any day of the week. My blood is thin, but I guess that's really like a personal preference.
Sure.
Everywhere in Mexico tends to, like the winters tend to be the busy season pretty much anywhere you go. Crowds are another thing to factor in. San Cristobal's in Chiapas is pretty off the beaten path. The crowds aren't ever going to be too out of control. But yeah, for me, I would definitely go back in the summer again. The only reason I would say later in the year is to avoid the rainy season entirely. But I actually didn't have too much rain, but I got lucky.
Okay. Yeah, they get 42 inches of rain a year, I'm seeing. So that's a lot. And it's mostly between April and October.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was there pretty much towards the end. And yeah, I think I just got lucky because I don't know if it rained at all now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, it didn't really rain at all. But that helps keep that they're able to grow a lot of crops year round. So you're able to eat really good food all the time, too.
Excellent. So we went to the canyon.
So on most of the tours to the canyon, and I think this tour was only like $20, and it was like a 4-hour tour. And they drive you from San Cristobal over to the canyon, and you get on a boat, and then you do the boat for about 2 hours. And then they take you to another one of the Pueblos Mágicos magic towns.
Oh.
And it's called Chiapa de Corzo. And this is like one of the standard tours. I mean, I really think this is one of those things where most people who are visiting San Cristobal will definitely do this tour. And I would say to do it. I mean, I grew up on boats and it was still like a really nice boat ride. The canyon is just, like the walls just go on forever at certain points, and then you can see monkeys. So that's always exciting. And Chiapa de Corzo, it's a very, very small town, but it's really like festively decorated. I think they do a big festival at some month of the year, which is not the month I was there.
In January.
Okay.
Is the feast day celebration. Yep.
Okay.
The Fiesta Grande de Enero.
Cool. So yeah, I did not see that, but I've seen pictures and videos, and it looks really cool online. So that might be worth checking out. But even if not, I mean, the town, it's a little touristy. They take all the tour. Like I said, this is like the main tour, I think, of San Cristobal de las Casas. And mm-hmm. so they take all the tourists there. So it's definitely a little touristy, but it's also just a really cute little pueblo. And this is worth checking out. And yeah, this tour was super economical. So I think it's something everyone would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So another, I keep saying tour, like if you did have a rental car, you could do all this stuff on your own too, but just kind of strolling through downtown San Cristobal, there's just a bunch of companies selling tours on the main streets. So it was pretty easy to not have a car. And I think I honestly probably saved money just doing the tours than having a car. But if you do, just think ahead for things like downloading an offline map, because you're definitely going to lose signal if you rent okay. a car and go on your own. These mm-hmm. are like mountain towns and rural Mexico. But so, yeah, I'm going to keep saying tour, but all of this is totally doable on your own okay. in a rental car. So another one that they do is to two other villages. And one is San Juan Chamula. And the other one is Zinacantan. And Zinacantan is an art town. And there's all kinds of beautiful mercados all over the place. And these are like, if you've looked up pictures of like colorful Mexican markets online, this is definitely like the quintessential colorful Mexican market. Like people selling artesanías and handicrafts and food, and the markets are a little hectic, but you just maintain your cool and stroll about. But Chiapas is known for a couple kinds of art. So mm-hmm. each state in Mexico, sometimes it's more than a state, it'll be a region, but they have their own unique art from just that part.
Mm-hmm.
So Chiapas has a couple unique things, and one is amber. They harvest, I think harvest is the right word. There's a lot of amber in the state of Chiapas, however they get it from the earth. So there's a lot of amber jewelry and just like amber little statues or tchotchke take-home things. And they do these jaguars. They're like just tan jaguars, or they have all black jaguars. There's like jaguar heads, like sculptures, and full body jaguars. And they're also known for their textiles, like really, really colorful textiles.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that Chiapas borders Guatemala. So this part of the world is the native people are Mayan, and they're known for their very colorful textiles. So even if you were in Guatemala, looking at the textiles of Guatemala, this would be the same kind of patterns and bright colors and stuff that you would find in a mercado in Chiapas. And they're the same people of Mayan descent. So those are like the main things you would go to Zinacantan to shop. So they would also usually combine like a day tour with a visit to San Juan Chamula. And this is a really interesting town. There's a main church in San Juan Chamula,
mm-hmm.
and they do, it's a hybrid kind of religious ceremony. And it's definitely very Catholic. Mm-hmm. Mexico's the very Catholic country, but it's also like there's very old like tribal traditions like woven in. So it's a really interesting religious ceremony. People are invited in, but you can't use a camera. So
okay.
there's not any photographic evidence of what goes on. I would say it's not too crazy of a ceremony. It can be a little intense for people. There is animal sacrifice sometimes. This didn't happen when I was there, but it's apparently up to the discretion of the shaman that's running the ceremony to if they do that or not. But if not, they pass an egg like over people's heads, and the egg is said to like absorb the negative energies or sort of provide a cleansing for the people that the shaman is blessing in the ceremony. And then they just bury the egg after it's done. And they pass around a liquor, which is from Chiapas, and it's called Posh, but it's spelled P-O-X. And you can drink if you want. Yeah, it's definitely an experience.
I love the way you say that.
Because you never know how people are going to react to something like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in a way they don't want you taking pictures because it's something you experience or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you experience it, you're along for the ride, so to speak. So it's kind of like sometimes I'm like, do I not talk about it?
Well, it's quite common that when we're in some place that is a religious place and a religious ceremony, that pictures are just not appropriate.
Yeah. There's definitely that too. I mean, from everywhere I've been in Mexico, like the churches don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one place where it's been explicit that you're not allowed, like, at all. And I don't know what happens if you break the rules or not, but I didn't. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of people definitely visit this town, and I guess maybe you can decide when you get there if you're going to participate in the ceremony or not. It's definitely an experience. It's definitely something that I've been to half the states in Mexico now, and it's the only time I've ever seen anything like that.
Hmm.
So for people who are just kind of curious, I think you would be into it. It's an experience. I don't know what else to call it.
Okay.
I recommend it. That's another tour. San Juan Chimula and Sinancunte. Those two towns are about an hour from San Cristobal de las Casas. And the canyon, that's about 30 minutes away.
Okay.
So now, if you only have a week, or if you only have a few days, even less than a week, those are two great options in addition to just kind of hanging out in San Cristobal, which you could easily just spend a few days walking the streets. There's a lot of great restaurants, a lot of beautiful, colorful colonial architecture, a lot of mercados and things like that. So
in terms of walking around and things like that, when we're in, you mentioned it being next to Oaxaca. When we're there, for instance, we're trying the mole. When you're in Chiapas, you're looking for what?
So the main street food in Chiapas is tamales.
Oh, okay.
I know everyone gets disappointed because it's not tacos.
No, that wasn't disappointed. I love tamales.
Okay, then you must go to Chiapas. Because, like, actually, there of the places I've been, I have never seen them more eaten on the streets than I have in Chiapas.
My only disappointment is my new daughter-in-law. She and her mother make tamales apparently at holidays, and I haven't had any yet. So, you know.
Well, that's weird because we definitely eat them during Mexico Christmas.
Yep.
A lot. They,
again, new daughter-in-law. We haven't had a Christmas together yet.
Okay. Well, I hope you get to soon. So, yeah. That's the main street food. Being Mexico, you can get tacos everywhere. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's not really a Chiapas food. It's not actually really a Oaxaca food, too. But it's an everywhere food.
Right.
But you're right about the moles in Oaxaca. And being that Chiapas is right next door, they do also have moles as well. Actually, the food is pretty similar to that of Oaxaca. Because tamales are pretty big in Oaxaca as well. And they do another thing, which is called barbacoa.
Oh, sure.
Which is something, which you can find in different parts of Mexico, but different places will make it differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, barbacoa is where American barbecue comes from. That's the roots of American barbecue is barbacoa.
Yeah. The word means barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what most people might know is, if you know anything about barbacoa in Mexico, what you might know is Central Mexico barbacoa, which is with sheep meat.
Okay.
So in Chiapas, it's actually with cow meat, and it's more like a stew. Like, it's a little more liquidy, because barbacoa in Mexico is definitely more like, I don't know, what is it, Kansas City barbecue? Like, it's like a dry barbecue. It's not like a saucy barbecue, like U.S. style. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely more of that, like, saucy, even more like bordering into a stew. So barbacoa for sure. They do a lot of candies, and you'll find them at the mercados. I forget what they call the candies, but they look like marzipan, crystallized whole fruits that do, like, have sugar injected. And I know they're really pretty and they're shiny kind of looking. So those were the big Chiapas foods that I remember eating.
Okay. Terrific. And then you were taking us somewhere next before I interrupted you.
So these next couple places are a little further out, outside of the city. So I'll just start with the big one, and it's Palenque.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, when Shelley and I were talking and she pitched me Chiapas, I said, do we get to talk about Palenque? So,
and I was like, of course we do. Because, so yeah. This is definitely the other really, really big tour.
Right.
And So Palenque is one of the biggest Mayan ruins sites in Mexico. It's actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's far from San Cristobal de las Casas. Actually, some people even stay in Palenque for a few nights. I didn't do that, and there's actually really not much in Palenque. But if you're really into Mayan ruins and you're really into jungles, you would maybe want to stay a couple, maybe two nights in the town of Palenque, which is also the name of the ruins. So I've been to a few Mayan ruin sites. I've definitely been to all the big ones that people would know the names of. And I've been to some of the smaller ones because I actually live in the Yucatan Peninsula where a lot of the Mayan ruins are.
Right.
And like Palenque is definitely something special. Palenque was like, you're outside of civilization. You're a good, I think it's about 4.5 hours from San Cristobal de las Casas.
Yeah, I'm saying over five, according to Google Maps.
Okay, over five. So there's a really big tour that they do, and this was actually the tour that I did, and I just booked it from walking around in downtown San Cristobal. And this one also was like, I want to say it was like $30, and it's like a 17-hour tour. So it's a big day.
Sure.
But a lot of people do this, especially if you're not going to stay the night in Palenque, the town. This is a really good option. So the tour actually, I think they picked us up at like 3:45 or something like that.
Good grief.
Yeah. No, okay. It's like... And there's two drivers that come with you, so it's it's a really popular tour.
But then you go back to sleep on the bus is the idea.
That's the thing. I mean, it's not comfortable sleep, but you're not driving, so you just do what you got to do. But I think there was like 6 or 7 other people with me on the tour. So yeah, it's pretty popular. So you first stop at Aguas Azules. Yeah, and it's a whole series of
waterfalls.
Yeah, I mean, it's blue waters. And they're not tall waterfalls, but they cascade down in like littler is not a word, smaller drops. They cascade down in like kind of small drops. And you can swim in some parts of the water. And like the name says, it's just like bright, beautiful turquoise waters. It's really beautiful. When I was there in September, late September, the water wasn't too cold. I'm not going to say it was not cold. It kind of was, but it's definitely tolerable. And a lot of people are in there swimming. And then they take you to another waterfall, which is called Misolha, which is a really huge waterfall. And you can actually go, there's like a little kind of a cave. You can go behind the waterfall and sort of walk back under it and stuff like that. It's also just in a really beautiful natural area. So then the next and final stop is when you go to Palenque. And I think we were there for about 3 hours. We were there for a good amount of time. And I think there's about 10 temples and pyramids. And there's one, which I believe is considered the most important one at the site, and it's called the Temple of the Inscriptions. And it's actually a burial tomb for Mayan king. But there's all these, I mean, they almost look Egyptian, like old hieroglyphics painted all over the walls. And yeah, it was super interesting. And then there's the burial tomb of the Red Queen, which I believe was his queen. And there's just a bunch of other temples, and you can climb all the ruins there. I think maybe, I don't know, we're kind of, knock on wood, coming out of COVID. But I know during COVID, a lot of this was shut down. Like you, the site was open, but you couldn't climb. But now I believe everything is actually back open, and you can climb up everything and explore everything, and you can go into a lot of these like old tombs because Palenque was a city. So some of the Mayan ruin sites, it's just one pyramid or one temple, but this is a whole city. And yeah, you're deep in the jungle. Like I mentioned, there's hiking trails. There's actually some waterfalls around Palenque that you can go to once you're inside the site. And I think the entrance was only something like $7 to get inside. There's also a museum towards the front of the site when you're first coming in. I kind of wish we had more time there. But yeah, this tour is a really good option for anyone, again, who's not going to be in Chiapas for an extended period of time. But I would say Palenque is one of those must-dos. I mean, if you mention to someone that you're going to Chiapas State and they know anything about Mexico travel, they're going to ask you if you went to Palenque.
Right.
And if you say no, they're going to be sad.
Well, and my impression is it's a smaller site, for instance, than Tikal or Chichen Itza or some of the other Mayan sites. But for instance, compared to Chichen Itza, a lot fewer people would be my guess.
Oh,
like orders
a lot
of magnitude.
Not even the word.
Yeah.
Chiapas sees something like 2 million visitors a year. And I would guess that Palenque maybe sees like a tenth of that. Like, I mean, if that. Yeah, when I went, we definitely did not have the place all to ourselves, but you feel like you're on your own a little bit. And Chiapas, you're elbow to elbow with people at sometimes. So yes, definitely less crowded. I would say this might be a place that's much nicer in the winters than the summers.
Okay.
The summers are pretty hot and humid and muggy and buggy. So a lot of things not going in favor of Palenque summers. But if that's your only time to travel, then that's your only time to travel. But yeah, definitely bug spray is a good tip for a day at Palenque.
Well, we didn't mention, but we're talking about a site that was inhabited from about 226 BC, they think, to about 799 AD. So the oldest parts of it are more than 2,000 years old, and the newest parts are more than 1,200 years old. So an interesting site and known for the quality of its ruins, which is an odd statement to say. Yeah, the reason I have a connection with Palenque is years ago when I was doing some social media, we were doing online chats with the archaeologists who were exploring Palenque. And so we had a site that you could go to that had 3D pictures that you could look at while you were chatting with these archaeologists about what they were finding on a given day or something like that. So it has been a place on my list since the 90s, I think.
Yeah, you'll really like it. You should stay there for a night maybe so you could. Because I bet in the like before they bus a lot of people in from San Cristobal.
Sure.
But I bet for the first 3 hours that they're open, I bet there's nobody in there because it's just going to be all people that are staying in Palenque town.
Right. Yeah, that's what I found with some of the other sites in the Yucatan, like Uxmal or Cuban. If you're there later in the day or if you're there before the buses arrive, I've literally found myself alone on the top of a Mayan pyramid, which is a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's always hard to make travelers, so to speak, get up early. But I'm like, no, that's really the time.
Yeah, I'm married to one of those people, too.
I'm an early riser. But yeah, so that would be... That would be my tip for Palenque too. Like, cause yeah, you can have a whole Mayan city to yourself, which is pretty mind blowing when you think about it. So yeah, that's a tour you can definitely do from San Cristobal again, even if you're visiting San Cristobal for like 4 days, you can do that as well. But there's some other Mayan ruins in Chiapas, but these are really, really off the beaten path. Bonampak ruins, and they're also famous for, they have like these ancient like fresco paintings all over the walls. And like, I don't hate to compare it to Egypt, but it looks like if it's like a Mayan version of being in an Egyptian pyramid. That's somewhere you'd have to have your own rental car and you'd have to drive out because I want to say it's like 7 hours, 6-7 hours from San Cristobal.
A little over 7 hours, yeah.
Wow, I'm getting my times right. And then there's another ruin site called Yaxchilan. And those are super cool. And they're actually right on the border to Guatemala. So there's just a river separating you from Guatemala. So Mexico's on one side and Guatemala's on the other side. You have to take a boat to get to them. But it's a pretty special experience again, and this is one of those places you'll be by yourself. They do combine those two places on some tours because to get to Yaxchilan you'd need to take a boat, so you really kind of can't go to those on your own. And I guess just to do two ruins in one day, you would be able to go to Bonampak as well on the same day. But yeah, that's somewhere you'd have to kind of plan ahead and have your rental car and get a hotel out that way. So another thing, these are a little closer to San Cristobal de las Casas. And I would say, yeah, if you're going to be there, maybe if you have 2 weeks, these might be some good places to add on to your itinerary. The first one is the Cascadas El Chiflón. I'm pretty sure it's a national park. If it's not, it's a state park. But it's 5 waterfalls. I think it's 5. The largest one is called the Cascada Vela de Novia, the Bridal Veil Falls.
Hmm.
Yeah, and much like Aguas Azules, you can swim in a lot of the pools under the waterfalls. Again, not the warmest water, but it's tolerable. Yeah, just super beautiful, a beautiful place to spend the day. You can hike around and then go for a swim. There's not much there, like some picnic tables and stuff like that, so you might have to plan ahead a little bit with that too. There are some tours that go from San Cristobal, but these tours were shorter. So it's about 2.5 hours to get there, and then obviously 2.5 to get back. And then they were only giving like another 2 hours at the site, which really didn't seem like enough time. So that might be something to consider for a rental car.
Okay.
And this is near another one of the Pueblos Mágicos, the magic towns, called Comitán de Domínguez. And it's another popular town that people would actually stay in aside from San Cristobal de las Casas. This would be another place that's somewhat on the tourist path. Everything's definitely a little off the beaten path in Chiapas State. But this would be another really good option. They have a lot of places to stay, good infrastructure. It's a really cute town, another place people would really like checking out. So if you were staying in Comitán, the Cascadas El Chiflón are right there. And then also there's Lagunas de Montebello or Lagos de Montebello, which means lakes or lagoons of Montebello. And it's actually like 60 lakes in this huge forest. It's a UNESCO biosphere. And yeah, you're in like a pine tree forest. You can hire boats to take you out on the lake. There's actually some smaller Mayan ruins within the park as well. You'll just run into all kinds of locals that live in the different towns all around the lake. And like by towns, I mean, there's like 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, another really beautiful, like natural experience, just very Chiapas-y to be just super out in nature.
And that again is right on the Guatemala border.
Comitán?
No, the Parque Nacional Lagunas de Montebello.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this is another, you'd have to kind of plan ahead. But if you were wanting to explore outside of San Cristobal, definitely. I usually hear this town called just Comitán, but it's Comitán de Domínguez is the full name. And then, let's see, the last thing that I would think would make a really great addition to an itinerary for Chiapas is to swim in the cenotes. It's not, the Yucatan Peninsula is definitely known for the cenotes. Mm-hmm. And if a cenote is, the definition is a sinkhole.
Right. Sounds much better in Spanish.
I know. I changed the definition for my own PR purposes. Mm-hmm. But I just call them like natural jungle pools.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen pictures of what you think were what sound like a jungle pool, that would be the cenotes in Mexico. So the Yucatan Peninsula, which is just to the east of Chiapas State, is known as the place that has the most cenotes in Mexico, but there actually are a couple in Chiapas State. And the best one is called Cenote Chucumaltic, and it's also near Comitán. So once you get out into Comitán, there's a lot of nature to explore, a lot of beautiful natural things to check out. And also it's like just a cute Pueblo Mágico, like I mentioned. So there's tourism infrastructure, places to stay, restaurants, all of those things, and then a lot of things to explore if for whatever reason San Cristobal maybe started seeming a little touristy for you, then Comitán is definitely a really great backup option.
Well, and the cenote you were talking about, Chucumaltic, is a little different from some of the ones that I'm familiar with in Yucatan, for instance. This looks more like a lake. It's bigger and less undergroundish, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it's definitely bigger. There's some open ones in Yucatan. Like Yucatan, there's actually 3 kinds, and you're you're maybe thinking of more the cave kind.
Right.
Yeah. We do have open cenotes, and they do call them open cenotes. Mm-hmm. Or they also call them swimming pool cenotes. And they're, like you said, like it's literally just, it looks like an actual swimming pool just on the jungle floor instead of in your backyard. Mm-hmm. So this is more of that style, but it is a huge one. It mm-hmm. is a really huge one. But it's good for, you could take a mask and a snorkel out there. The water's pretty clear. There's a couple like places you can jump into the water. It's really deep. Yeah, but there's a couple others in Chiapas State, but that one's a really, really great one. And again, all this stuff was around Comitán. So it would make a nice second city to check out.
Excellent. Well, that kind of wrapped up your itinerary.
Yeah.
Are we ready for some wrap-up questions then? Or is there anything else you think that people really ought to know before they go to Chiapas?
Life happens slower there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when people from the U.S. will visit me in Mexico, like I've been in Mexico for 3.5 years now, and I've acclimated. That's the one thing people are always like, everything takes so long in Mexico. And I'm like, yeah, they do this weird thing here where they like cook food fresh. You know? So... you have to kind of just like check your notions of like the speed of how life happens, I think, to really enjoy Chiapas. If it sounds like your kind of place, if you're more like a nature lover, culture lover, you would just love it. But yeah, check how fast you think life should happen at the door.
Excellent. You are standing in the prettiest spot in Chiapas. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I would be in Aguas Azules, I think, and like in the water and then looking back out onto like the foresty shore. And the water is actually turquoise, like a crayon.
Mm, very cool. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Chiapas.
Being at a mercado and like a chicken walks in front of you.
Okay. And if you had to summarize Chiapas in just 3 words, what 3 words are you going to choose?
Magical,
okay.
Natural,
mm-hmm.
and colorful.
Excellent. Excellent. Our guest again has been Shelley from TravelMexicoSolo.com. And Shelley, if we want to send people to your website, to your best post on Chiapas, where are we going to send them?
You'll send them to my Chiapas travel guide, which is TravelMexicoSolo.com/Chiapas-travel-guide.
And I'll put a link to that in the show notes so that people don't have to memorize that. It'll be there in the lyrics of the episode. If you're looking at the lyrics of your episode, you'll see that link, or on the website at amateurtraveler.com. Shelley, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Chiapas.
Thank you, Chris. I loved chatting with you.
Special thanks go out to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially for as little as $5 a month. But that all adds up and helps pay for the expenses for Amateur Traveler. So my thanks to all the patrons, especially as we wrap up this 2001 year, which was an interesting year to say the least, especially for travel. I heard from April for the episode we did recently on Ladakh in India, who said, I just listened to this episode during my morning commute to Nashville. I particularly enjoyed hearing about this lesser-known area in wonderful detail from your guest. My family loved a TV series called My Big Crazy Family Adventure, as the Kirby family, including two young children, traveled overland to Ladakh to stay at a monastery there. More recently, I read Bruce Kirby's account of this time at the monastery in his book Blue Sky Kingdom. And thanks, April. That was not something that I was familiar with. And then I also heard from Randy Rohr, who was on the episode recently talking about Grand Canyon, who said, I really enjoyed this episode. I visited Ladakh a number of years ago to raft the Zanskar River. After several days of sightseeing in Leh and the surrounding area, we traveled to the Zanskar Valley by vehicle skirting near Kashmir to arrive at the Zanskar River. It was a fun week-long rafting trip with big Grand Canyon-style rapids, camping and visiting monasteries as we made our way down the river. The river is cold as it is fed by snow and glacier melt, so we wore wetsuits. The takeout was at the confluence of the Zanskar and Indus Rivers, which your guest mentioned in the show. I highly recommend visiting Ladakh. And as your guest mentioned, the time to visit is late summer, July, August. However, spending time in Delhi on the way was pretty darn miserable in terms of heat. The weather in high-altitude Ladakh was lovely. The weather in Delhi was horrid. Thanks so much, Randy. In terms of schedule for the show, we're going to be doing a repeat episode that's going to come out on Christmas Day, and then the next episode in Amateur Traveler that is new will come out on New Year's Day. We have some interesting episodes coming up that I think you're going to enjoy on Mendocino, California, Zaragoza, Spain, the country of Togo, Laos, and more. So subscribe if you haven't already in your favorite podcatcher. And I'm probably also going to announce where the Amateur Traveler 2021 trip will be in the January 1st show. I want to give another week to allow people to do some voting, as some people have been joining the amateurtraveler.com/trips private Facebook group. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.
Cathedral, I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be